So today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everyone. Before I begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we think about repentance this morning, that you would turn each of our hearts towards you, that we would come to you in greater depth of love day by day. Amen. And so today, as I said, I'm talking about repentance. And as you've just seen in our reading, it's the first thing that Jesus preaches publicly when he begins his ministry. It really is the building block of the life of faith. And Jesus shows here that repentance is the product of the kingdom of heaven coming near. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And the coming of the kingdom in the person of Jesus that invites repentance that he might forgive us is framed here in this passage within that ancient prophecy in Isaiah that we were dwelling in over Advent and Christmas. It says that Jesus brings light to all that were dwelling in darkness. And that light comes through this first step of repentance. Repentance, the act of saying sorry to God, brings sin and the mess in our lives out of the darkness and into the light, where they lose their power and we can walk in fresh freedom with the God who loves us. We're able to draw near to him again when we come to him in repentance. And Carl talked last week about Jesus being the one that fulfills all righteousness when we can't, that Jesus is the one who is completely perfect when we can't be. And he is the one who bears all loving kindness and scandalous mercy. And so it's really important to hold that in our minds as the true character of God when we then take a deep dive into thinking about repentance. Now, I don't know what you feel when you hear the word repentance, or when we come together on a Sunday and a time of confession is announced. You might be a little indifferent. You might think, well, I haven't done anything majorly wrong this week. I might have been a bit grumpy. I might have snapped at my family, but I haven't committed any crime since last Sunday. So this is just a checkbox exercise. It's something we say and we get through. Or you might see it as an opportunity for a kind of spring clean of your heart as you come into worship. Just get some things sorted out so that you can focus on the real work of worship. Or you might be someone who approaches confession quite aware, actually, of guilt and shame in your life. And it's a beautiful moment of freedom where you can give those things that burden you over to God. You can leave them at his feet and receive his forgiveness and freedom. He gives you his assurance that he has made you good enough to come to him. And I probably vary in these approaches depending on the week, and maybe you do too, and that's okay. But the truth is that repentance is God's gift to us. And it might sound funny calling it a gift, but God is acutely aware that we have a tendency to stray, that we have a tendency to go wrong, to make mistakes, to prefer ourselves over others, to tread on other people to get what we want. He's aware this is all part of the human nature. We have the capacity to go astray. And so God, in his great wisdom, has provided a mechanism for when, not if, we stray. We have a route, a clear route back to him, back into relationship and unity and communion with him. And unity and communion with God are some of the things we're thinking about this year in our annual vision, if we call it that. Being in unity under Christ, but also being rooted and established in love is what we were talking about on our United service. And so in terms of repentance, I'm going to look at three angles today. The first is, what does the word repentance really mean? And then, what are a couple of different kinds of repentance that might be relevant to us? And then I'm going to talk a little bit about what happens during confession with a capital C in our Sunday service. And as it's something we do every week, it's really good to look a bit closer at some of the words we usually say. And so first, what does repentance mean? Well, in the New Testament, the literal meaning of the word is to change your mind, to turn away, or to reverse a decision. It's more similar to the way we would use conscience today. It's a sort of mental acknowledgement of wrong and a choosing to change our minds for the better, to change the way that we think from an earthly perspective to a heavenly one, to start looking at our lives from God's standards and perspective rather than our own. Or as the Apostle Paul would put it, it's to choose to have the mind of Christ and to ask for God to renew our minds. And so repentance, saying sorry, being willing to acknowledge our wrong, puts us on a new path. It gives us a new direction. It helps us to enter afresh a sacred way of life, following Jesus, the Jesus who brings the kingdom of God near to us. What a beautiful gift. And so there are really two kinds of repentance that I'd like to talk about as my second point. And in this passage, we see Jesus calling people to repent for the first time. He's going out to preach among people who don't yet know who he is, who haven't recognized that he's God, who don't know what it means that the kingdom of heaven is coming near. And so the first repentance is the saying sorry for trying to do our lives independently and away from God. It's saying that you want to give your life over to God and his ways, and you want to invite the Holy Spirit to shape your life to look more like Jesus's. And that's the repentance that I meant in terms of being the building block of the life of faith. It's that first step on the stairs. It's a surrender to Jesus. And when Jesus says, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is near, he's saying, join the adventure, turn your life around and follow me. God is already in the process of transforming the whole world, and he's saying, come and muck in. Come and be part of my team. And I've heard this described as being welcomed into the home of the Father. When you put your faith in Christ, you are made a son and a daughter, and you are invited into God's home. You're given your own room as well. And you're offered perfect communion with God as a father there, and you're offered a new lifestyle, a new way of living. But like any son or daughter, we make mistakes. We get grumpy or angry. We do things that aren't in line with the ways of the house, or even we try to hurt other people within the house. And so we might find ourselves retreating to our bedroom and slamming the door, metaphorically, and sulking. We put in some distance between us and God, either because we're embarrassed or we are fed up, or because we think that the Father might be angry. And this is where we need the second type of repentance, a saying sorry when we've messed up. Though we remain under the same roof, we remain sons and daughters, nothing changes in our identity. We need a kind of repentance where we can say sorry and come down those stairs and reconcile with God the Father. We can come and sit again at the kitchen table with him or on the sofa, whatever in your mind is the place of intimacy in a home. That's where we need to come back to, that we can be reconciled with God afresh, no matter what we've done. And so an ongoing practice of repentance in our lives requires a lot of humility. It requires being able to come out and try again, a willingness to try. Because what we really want is to be reconciled with the Father so we can walk freely, so we can live freely in the house. We've been given freedom of the whole house. You're there as a son and a daughter, and you need to take up that freedom. And so there's the first repentance when we turn to Christ, and then there are many repentances as we walk daily life and we inevitably make mistakes. And so I believe repentance means that the door to reconciliation with God always remains open. The only thing that holds us back is the humility to come and say sorry and to try again. And so the third thing I want to talk about is our corporate practice of confession. Now, of course, we can repent whenever, and we should regularly be ready to repent in private prayer or with a trusted friend. As I said, the door for reconciliation is always open. You don't have to do it in church. And we should be quick to put things right, as we would in any relationship, quick to fix things and not let things fester. But the confession that happens in church every Sunday is also a gift, because it provides a touch point in the week where we're invited into that place of repentance, even if we don't feel like it. As I said at the beginning, I vary week to week how I feel when I come to confession. And I think it's particularly when it's a week where I feel like it's a checkbox exercise, or where I dread it, that I know that I need it more than ever. And so I'm really grateful that it is a fixture in our liturgy, that there is an opportunity for it every Sunday, whether I'm ready or not. And I'm then able to commune freely with God in worship, having done the spring clean. And so when I first found out I was preaching on repentance, I was immediately reminded of a story of Shrek. Now, not Shrek the film or cartoon character, I'm afraid, but Shrek the sheep. And Shrek was a sheep in New Zealand, and he hated being sheared. And he made international news because of this, because he ran away from his shepherd. And there he is. He ran away for 6 years, and he managed to evade his shepherd by hiding in caves. He was actually a very clever sheep, which is quite unusual. But whilst he was away for 6 years, his wool built up and up and up and up until he couldn't really see out. So you can't even see his eyes. And he could barely stand, so much was the weight of his wool. It was 27 kilograms, apparently, the fleece, and it made 20 men's suits. So if that speaks to you, I don't know. He couldn't walk, really. He couldn't stand up. And I just thought this was a brilliant metaphor for repentance. Of actually, although shearing might be uncomfortable, it was essential for Shrek's well-being, and he really suffered by not being sheared. And we need to come back to our shepherd regularly as well, to be sheared. We naturally build up wool through life. We build up failures and things we regret and hurt we've received from others. And these things weigh us down and hold us back. And so this is an important reminder that we need to return regularly to our shepherd, to be spiritually sheared, so that we can live lightly and freely. And so confession in church is the weekly shearing that we all need. And the prayer that we pray at confession, perhaps we could just have it on the screen while I talk about it. It acknowledges that sin is not just actions, but it's also thoughts, it's words, and in some variations it also includes things we failed to do, which I also find very helpful. It involves an apology for not loving God with our whole hearts and not loving those around us wholeheartedly. And it asks for God's help in the past, the present, and the future. It really commits everything to God. And it ends by praying that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. This is quoting Micah, the prophet, who writes about what God truly requires of us. Not burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this interior posture of a life laid down, willing to follow Jesus, and so to be quick to repent, quick to reconcile, quick to get back into right relationship with God. It aligns our lives with the attitude God asks of us. And so, like Shrek the sheep, we need to come to our shepherd for our regular shearing. And so, as I end now, we'll just hold some quiet, and then Colin's going to come up in a minute and lead us through confession.